Well, thank you for inviting me back again. For those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Jordan, and I was the supply minister here for 2 years. And it's always a blessing to be invited back to speak with you again. I titled the message today, Mending the Nets, because as we went through the two readings, you might think that the two readings are not connected at all, but the word of mending the nets. So when Jesus goes to call his disciples, he goes to call Peter and Peter's brother, and then he goes to call John and James. But when he goes up to call John and James, if you look at the verse there, it says that as he approached them, they were mending the nets. Now, I want you to keep that in mind, because the word that is used there for mending the nets in the original language is the exact same word that Paul was using when he was speaking to the church of Corinth. So to give you a bit of context, what was happening? So Paul, who has been going to all of these churches and preaching the gospel and setting it up and helping the community and doing everything he can, is informed that this church in Corinth has started to split. It started to splinter. It started to have division amongst themselves. And the reason for that is because the church in Corinth are fighting amongst each other about who is better. And the way that they're doing that is by saying, like, well, I'm a follower of Paul. And someone is saying, well, I'm a follower of Apollos. Or I'm a follower of Cephas, which is just Peter. Or I'm a follower of this person or that person. Therefore, because I'm a follower of this, I'm greater than you. I have more hierarchy than you. I have more say than you do. That's what the church was doing. They were fighting amongst themselves about saying which one is better. This is not uncommon. The disciples did the same thing. Many a time Jesus did catch them when they were arguing amongst themselves about which is the best one. But if you go through all the writings in Paul's letters, all throughout the New Testament, and Paul wrote 13 of the books in the New Testament, one thing that seems to irritate him more than anything else is when there's division in the church. That really upsets him. It annoys him when people get in together and they start arguing amongst themselves. Famously, in the book of Galatians, he actually has an argument with Peter, Saint Peter, because Peter is treating the Christian Jews better than he's treating the Gentile Christians. So the Jewish Christians are getting some sort of special treatment and the Gentile Christians are not. And Paul, publicly in front of everybody, calls out Peter and says, why are you doing this? If we all belong to Jesus, then we can all sit at the same table. That's the argument that happens in Galatians. And that's what Paul is saying here. Now, if you want to put this idea of the nets together, the Greek word that Paul was using, it means to mend, to repair, to bring together, to fix. The actual word itself is sort of like if you had broken your arm and you rolled it in a bandage. So Paul is saying to them, you need to mend your net, because this division amongst you all has torn a hole in the nets. And because of this division, or because of this rip, if you like, the people were falling through. So the people who needed the care, the people in the community who needed the gospel, the people who needed to come to know Christ, and all of this, they were falling through. The people who were really suffering and hurting were falling through because of this rip. In the same way, if you threw those nets into the water when they were fishing, all the fish would swim through. And one thing Paul does is that he doesn't come to this group and he says to them, look, you're right and you're wrong. He tells them all off. They're all wrong. Because what Paul does, and this is what Paul's remedy is, this is how you mend the net, this is how you fix it, is he says to them, you need to go and look at the cross. That's where you need to go. He says to them, I wasn't crucified for you. Paul didn't die for you. Peter didn't die for you. Apollos didn't die for you. Christ died for you. Do any of you know the hymn, The Old Rugged Cross? Have you heard that before?
Yeah.
When you think about that hymn, the cross, which was a symbol of torture, a symbol of death, to the Christian, it's a symbol of God's self-sacrificing love. And the hymn writer of that song, The Old Rugged Cross, says that I will cling to that old rugged cross. I'll exchange it one day for a crown. He talks about the cross as it's a lifeline for him or her. And that's what Paul is saying here to them. Now, we can apply this to our current day because, I don't know about you, but since I've been a Christian, and I became a Christian when I was 18 and I'm 32 now, I've been in the Pentecostal church for 7 years and I've been in the Uniting Church for 4. I have come across people who think that, well, a Baptist is better than a Methodist, or a Presbyterian is better than a Lutheran, or a Catholic is better than an Orthodox, or blah, 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 blah. That fight goes on all the time. And so that kind of argument gets ripped apart. And then you can see that sometimes even in a congregation, you might even see a tear. This is how we've always done it. This church started in 1974 and we always did it this way. We always use this hymn book. All the stuff that's not important that they get into fights over rips them apart. And the people who need the care, the people who need the love, the people who need to come and feel like they have a family fall through the holes in the nets. And what Paul does encourage them to do is, instead of focusing on what is not important, it is to look at who is important. Be of one mind, be of one spirit, turn to Christ, and that will mend your net. Imagine if every Christian in every denomination decided to dedicate themselves, that this is your New Year's resolution, or this is the vision of this church, this is the vision of a worldwide church or whatever. If Pope Leo came out and said that this is what the Catholic Church, all 1 billion members, are going to focus on for the next 12 months, is that we're all going to dedicate ourselves to getting to know Christ more. To become more intimately acquainted with who Jesus is. Because the one thing I love about the story that we got in the gospel is that when Jesus went up to his disciples, who were not yet his disciples, he said to them, "Follow me." Now, the reason why that's important is because that call is not just for them, it's for everybody. I don't care what the church says. I don't care what a famous minister says. I don't care what the society says. Jesus says to you personally, you follow me, and I will make you fishers of the people. I'll make sure people don't fall through your net. Now, let me make it a little bit personal. Look at yourself. I want you to look at yourself. Now, we see that this division in the church rips the church apart. People get divided because of things they disagree with each other. They rub each other up the wrong way or whatever. Creates division, yeah? What about within yourself? I would bet that there have been times amongst a few of us that we fight within ourselves because we get torn in so many directions. You torment yourself with what ifs and if onlys. What if this happens and blah, blah, blah? If only this had happened, then I would feel, You sort of get yourself into this state of mind where you condemn yourself for the things you did and then you feel shame for the things that you didn't do. I shouldn't be feeling this way because. You become your worst critic. You become a tyrant to yourself. And then the holes that are ripped through your net, what goes out? Hope, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering. Like fish. Personally, for myself, for the past few months, I have noticed that there have been huge tears in my net. Some of that's been caused through depression. Some of that's been caused through anxiety. Some of that's been caused through financial insecurity. Some of that has been caused from drug instability. Some of that has been caused through divine silence, when you pray and you ask God for something and you get no response. There's a poem in Shakespeare that says, I trouble deaf heaven with my bootless cries. and I look upon myself and I curse my fate. Where the person in the sonnet is saying that when he cries out to heaven, heaven's deaf. Can't hear, doesn't hear. Feels the response. But the one thing that has kept me together, because it's no doubt in my mind, 2025 was probably my most stressful year. But the one thing that kept me going and stopped me from falling apart, and even a counselor said to me, you know, one or two of these things somebody would collapse under, but you had about six of them, is that I found that when things got the hardest, the more I focused on Jesus, on Christ, I went back to the Gospels, I went back to the words of Christ. And if you have one of those Bibles that have those red letter words, they're great. And he's saying, do not be afraid. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You're getting all of this sort of stuff like that. And then just slowly, you somehow made it. You might not have seen it. It might not have been like a supernatural event, but you somehow made it. And you were able to care for others. You were able, for myself, I was able to get up and preach to people. I was able to do pastoral care. I was able to do the things that happen in ministry, even though I was going through all this sort of stuff. That could only have happened because I would cling to that old rugged cross. So when we hear these words from Paul, and we see these words from Christ, do we hear within ourselves that call to come follow me again? If you feel that you've sort of drifted, I don't mean that you've drifted into God-forsakenness, but you just sort of were getting in the motions of things. The love, the excitement, the joy is not there. Things you do things out of habit as opposed to want. Did you come to church to get a blessing, or did you come to church to be a blessing? Do you thank God for the day and you dream about God all night? This is not a condemnation. It's just what we see as a call. You follow me. It doesn't matter what the world looks like right now. Doesn't matter what people are saying. My net of my understanding of God had to be torn apart and rebuilt again. I had to mend it. Because my understanding of God was not the true understanding of God. I had to learn that God loved me more than my circumstances. It's a beautiful call for us to be able to hear the words of Christ say to us, follow me. Do you know the early church never considered themselves Christians? That was used as a slur. They would say that, oh, those Christians over there who think that they're, you know, their dead God rose again and all this stuff. That's how it was used. If you said to Paul, who are you and what do you do? Paul would just say to you, I am in Christ. That's who I am. In the eyes of God, there's no such thing as a uniting church. No such thing as a Presbyterian church or the Methodist church or the Lutheran church or the Catholic church. These are just the children of God. I think about 2 weeks ago, you covered in the readings, it was Jesus' baptism. And when you see that baptism is you identifying with Christ, when Christ came out of that water, God said, this is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. So when God looks at you, this is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. Because this child of mine is in Christ. And then so we hear the words of Christ saying, come follow me. Come follow me and I will make you one who will use your net to mend, to pair, to repair, to heal, to restore all those who are lost at sea. And that means you too. So I hope you pull that away from this message today.